Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of September 9th. We'll start with local news. Can this missile be saved? Many hope so. From Rantoul. Mayor Chuck Smith said he has received comments from all over the United States about Air Force's plan to dismantle the missile at the former Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul. Among those hoping to see the missile saved are the president of an Arkansas group that plans to develop a Cold War museum and the commander of a Rantoul Military Veterans Service Association. Smith said he hopes to convince U.S. Representative John Shimkus to use his influence to block the missile's demolition. Smith said there was a remote possibility the missile can be saved. A contractor hired by the Air Force is scheduled to arrive in Rantoul September 14th and begin demolition the next day. The recent announcement the missile was on the chopping block has sparked cries to keep standing the Cold War era symbol, placed at the west entrance to the former base in 1966. The missile has been around for 54 years. Ironically, half of that time has been the period since the Air Force closed the base in 1993. The missile means a lot to people, Smith said. We are hoping the Air Force is having a change of heart, but there are no guarantees. We appreciate people reaching out to tell us how they feel about it. But with that comes a lot of financial responsibility, as well as the government would have to be willing to set aside for the reclamation of the weapon over a period of time or be refabricated to its original condition. Smith said the village was told in the past it could not take over ownership or maintenance of the missile because it is Air Force property. The missile bears more than a little bit of sentimental value to those still living in the Rantoul area. It also represents a special time for individuals who formerly trained at the base in missile maintenance and fuels guidance systems from every branch of the military. Barrett Harrison, president of the Blytheville-Gosnell, Arkansas Regional Airport Authority, which hopes to establish a Cold War museum on the former Eaker Air Force Base, said his group is interested in the missile. Like Rantoul, the community saw its population drop from about 28,000 to about 14,000 after the defense facility was closed in 1992. But unlike Chanute, Eaker was at the center of the Cold War. An East German resident who studied that period said he learned Eaker was number 5 on the list of facilities to be bombed by the Soviet Union in the event of a war, Harrison said. B-52 bombers at Eaker sat at the ready, loaded with nuclear bombs 24 hours a day during the Cold War. Having a Minuteman missile on display is especially attractive to such a museum, Harrison said. He said he has found there is a great deal of interest among the general public in the history of the Cold War, which was a period of geopolitical tension between the United States and the Soviet Union and their allies from after World War II until 1991. Harrison said he was shocked to learn the missile might be destroyed. That would be something we would love to have in our artifacts, he said. We would hate to see it dismantled. It should be a whole lot easier for the Air Force to transfer that to us than for us to try to get one somewhere else. Justin Penrod, commander of the Rantoul VFW number 6750, said he had spoken to an aide of Shimkus and an Air Force liaison in hopes of saving the missile. So far, it's wait and see. He said Shimkus's aide had indicated he had spoken with the congressman, who was very interested about finding out what needs to be done to save it. It would be nice to keep that around and restore it and make it last for a couple more generations, Penrod said. As a veteran service organization, the VFW is eligible to request a static display of decommissioned military equipment such as the missile, which would still be owned by the Air Force, according to Penrod. Our mission would be to maintain it, maintain the grounds, and keep it standing, he said. I think there's so much love for that missile all around the nation. The news of its pending demolition has reached so many people. He said if the missile can be declared a landmark, government funding could be secured for its maintenance. Smith hopes the time is not too late. There's not a lot of time, he said, and we're up against it right now. Two Rantoul City Schools employees test positive for COVID-19. Superintendent Michelle Ramage said a temporary employee tested positive Friday. The employee was in both Pleasant Acres and Eastlawn Elementary Schools. No students were close contacts, Ramage said. 6 employees were quarantined. The last time the positive individual was in school, when they were possibly contagious, was September 2nd. A second employee who works at Pleasant Acres tested positive also Friday. Ramage said that that employee's case is not related to the first incident, but we were not made aware of it until Monday night. We had no school, of course, Saturday through Monday, Ramage said. She said that employee also was not in close contact with students. One employee was quarantined, but school officials didn't know that officially until Wednesday. We, of course, quarantined that individual on our own until the health department notified that person Wednesday that they were indeed quarantined, Ramage said. We feel it is important to notify parents as quickly as possible. After we've done our contact tracing and the health department has done their contact tracing, it takes some time to notify us. Ramage said the quarantines were due to contact outside of work. For COVID-19, the Center for Disease Control defines a close contact as any individual who was within 6 feet of an infected person for at least 15 minutes, starting from 2 days before the illness onset. As for asymptomatic patients, 2 days prior to positive specimen collection, until the time the patient is isolated, Ramage said. Bullets hit Chanute Street apartment building. 3 bullets struck a residential building on Chanute Street Wednesday evening. Rantoul Police Lieutenant Justin Bowes said officers were dispatched to the 100 block of North Chanute Street for a report of shots fired. Officers located an apartment at 109 North Chanute Street that had damage from 3 bullets striking it. A resident inside the apartment told police he was unaware who might have shot his apartment. No suspect information is available. Bowes said the investigation is continuing. DUI charge filed after car rolls on residential street. A Rantoul woman was arrested Wednesday evening for driving under the influence after her car struck a light pole and rolled over in the village. Ashanti Ellis, 23, of the 1500 block of Hobson Drive, was also cited for failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident. Rantoul Police Lieutenant Justin Bowes said officers were dispatched at 6:47 p.m. to the 500 block of Nipswa Avenue. The vehicle Ellis was driving had rolled over 2 to 3 times, landing on its top. Bowes said as officers were speaking to Ellis, they saw signs of impairment, which led to her arrest. Ellis was released from the police department with the citations and a court date. Rantoul firefighters were also on the scene, but were not needed. Ellis was able to get out of the vehicle under her own power, Fire Chief Ken Waters said, and was not injured. Attack victim said he hopes assailants are rehabilitated. Gary Baker said he doesn't want revenge. The 60-year-old Rantoul resident, who is known for love of growing flowers and produce and helping people however he can, was attacked and bloodied in an apparent robbery attempt in his front yard the evening of August 17th. Baker, who is disabled from stomach cancer, is recovering from the attack by a young man who beat him. But he won't let the incident get him down. A friend who was also accosted by another person as he stood in Baker's front yard. While many such attack victims would cry for justice, Baker said he wants to show mercy. He said he can relate somewhat. As a 19-year-old, Baker said he was trying to find his way, was homeless, and had a few scrapes with the law, albeit not violent ones like the one he experienced. I don't want vengeance on them, Baker said. They better hope I catch them compared to what other people want to do with them. If you work with them at a young age, they often can be helped. He said some people have told him they would have run the culprits over with the vehicle if they had seen the attack. When a group of young people walked by his house a couple days before the attack, he said he heard one of them saying something about robbing him. A lot of people said they physically want to hurt them, Baker said. Instead, he said the youths need to be worked with, like they did when I was 19 and in trouble with the cops, and they put you on probation, a work program, and keep track of them. Baker said such an approach straightened him out. He would like to see the attackers put to work in a community garden, raising food to help people. Baker said he believes the 2 attackers were part of a group of young people who walked past his house a couple of days before the attack. Put that whole group down in the garden, Baker said. Do you know how much food I could grow if you had that whole group working? That's how Baker thinks. how much food he can raise to give to people. Baker's advice to young people? Don't follow the crowd. Be who you are. Do something different. Rantoul Police Sergeant Rodney Sullivan said an arrest warrant has been obtained for the person that police believe attacked Baker. He said the person is believed to have left the area. We have notified another jurisdiction of the warrant in hopes they locate and arrest him, Sullivan said. Charges on the warrant are aggravated battery, mob action, and battery. Baker said the attack happened as he and a friend, Ivan Torres, were talking in Baker's front yard after Torres had brought Baker a load of posts he had picked up. The attackers sprang on the pair without warning. Baker doesn't remember much of what happened. Torres does. He said someone ran up on Baker and began hitting him with a pipe. Another youth confronted Torres, hit him on the chin, and prevented him from helping his friend. Said Baker, I was standing on this side of the truck, and Torres was on the other side of the truck, with the truck running. My neighbor was outside. I think they're watching too much TV when they show them whacking people. And they're getting a thrill walking up on them and bashing them out of the blue. They just kept pounding on me. I just remember being grabbed. They just kept pounding on me. I just remember being grabbed and a little bit of the ambulance ride. Kimberly Lake, who lives in Baker's house with her husband, Stephen Heck Lake, told Baker that he came running into the house calling for Heck after the attack and was bleeding all over the place. Torres said Kimberly called 911. I stumbled in and bled all over their bed and the door frame, Baker said. Torres, who said he had known Baker since they met 10 years ago at Christian Life Church, said it was a little guy who attacked Baker, while it was a large male who attacked him. The little guy was angry. I don't know what the beef was between him and Gary, Torres said. Torres said he feels a little guilty for the incident. If Torres hadn't delivered the post that night, Baker wouldn't have been in the front yard. I love Gary, Torres said. Gary's the goodest guy I know. I love that guy. He's one of the hardest working men in town, and he gives a lot of his things to other people. Torres said he left the scene and came back with his nephew, who legally can possess a firearm, and tried to make a citizen's arrest, but the attackers were gone. Sullivan said no arrest information is available on the person who attacked Torres. He has been identified, but it is a juvenile, so not much to put out about that right now, Sullivan said. Baker was transported to Carl Hospital in Urbana for treatment and was released a few hours later. He said the pain was real bad, and still is. He suffered injuries to his head, arm, shoulder, and broke his thumb in two places. Being beat on the head will do that, he said. But the vertigo is the worst part. He used to be dizzy because of his bout with cancer, and it has returned with this attack. A native of the DeLand-Weldon area, Baker settled in this area after coming to work at Rantoul Products. He won't let the attack keep him down. He still tends to his garden plots located all over town and has 33 fruit trees. Baker also does a lot of canning. He said his doctor wants him to undergo physical therapy, but he believes he gets plenty of therapy working in his gardens, and he gets to be in the atmosphere he loves. Baker said he tries not to live in fear. Late at night, some guy came walking up the driveway. I was a little skittish, but everything was okay. He said, I try not to let it bother me. This is a good town in general, but once in a while things crop up that you have to deal with. You can't be scared. Lincoln's Challenge Academy cadets settle back in. The National Basketball Association has its bubble. So does Lincoln's Challenge Academy, sort of. The bubble is for cadets living at the academy. Support staff are allowed to come and go to their homes. Living and working in a communal environment, instruction has been ongoing at the academy since midsummer, after it shut down in mid-March due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It's been a very unique year, LC Director Michael Hare said. It's downscaled from what we usually do because of all the COVID-19 precautions. We have to make sure we have enough space for 6 feet distance. Cadets don't have an opportunity to go home on weekends or have family visits. They don't have that much opportunity anyway because of the military environment, Hare said. Visitation has been restricted for safety reasons. The Academy teaches high school dropouts in a military setting, working with them to earn their high school diploma. Cadets attend GED classes for about 4 hours daily. Classes go over various subjects and information related to the GED testing areas. Cadets also receive CPR and first aid training by a certified medical supervisor. The Academy also partners with Parkland College to offer a basic college-level computer skills class and includes an introduction to computers, hands-on experience with Windows OS, spreadsheets, databases, word processor, document production and creation. Cadets obtain 3 college credits for completion. Cadets can also take a food handler's course and upon satisfactory completion will receive a certification by the state of Illinois. The Academy also partners with the University of Illinois Extension, an Illinois nutrition education program teaching the basics of healthy eating, food prep, recipes, and other health-conscious concerns. The curriculum has changed, Harris said. Obviously, we're staying much closer to campus and not doing face-to-face service to the community, so we are doing more cleanup work. Before COVID, the Academy worked with Head Start and participated in a number of area parades and other community events. The Academy has been working with the Village of Rantoul to do area cleanup of the parks, around roadways, and in area municipalities. Where we can make sure there are small groups and open spaces away from the public, we're trying to maintain our bubble, Hare said. While challenge academics in some states remained open early in the pandemic, Lincoln's challenge ended classes in mid-March before its midsummer reopening. We had a lot of help from the Department of Military Affairs, Hare said. The department has a senior surgeon in the Air Force who came down and gave us a lot of guidance and recommendations while we were closed, including more time in the schedule for health, additional showers, slowing down the rate of movement so we could spread out and work on training for social distance, work on sanitation, rearranging the way we had our beds so everybody had 6 feet between head and foot in the building. Previously, beds were a locker width apart, about 3.5 feet. The Academy didn't take in as many cadets as normal, bringing in 130 in 2 groups. The maximum capacity per class is 144. Those cadets who were sent home in mid-March and wanted to return were allowed to complete their education. COVID tests on all cadets were done in Champaign, and follow-up tests took place in early August. For the first 30 days, all cadets wore masks in class. They were allowed to discontinue using them after that period because they have been in a communal environment the entire time. No cadets or staff have tested positive for the virus. All cadets wear masks when they leave the campus or if outside people are brought in for instruction. We are restricting to only absolutely necessary medical trips, Hare said. We've communicated to the parents we won't be doing the Saturday-Sunday passes anymore. We've set up Zoom conferences. Hare said, unfortunately, some cadets who have lost loved ones have been unable to attend funeral services. They have been able to attend services via Zoom. Staff and cadets are screened daily, including temperature checks. I appreciate the staff taking care of themselves, Hare said. None of this would be possible without the other 75 staff who are helping on a daily basis. Most of the staff go home at night and don't stay in the bubble. Graduation for the 22-week session is scheduled December 12th. It remains to be seen what form that will take. Unless the state is in phase 5 of recovery, Hare said graduation will probably be either a drive-through or small ceremonies at drop-off locations. Hare said cadets are coping well. I think they know what's going on around them, he said. This has always been a very unique environment with being a residential cadet facility compared to a different high school or a traditional educational program. We're not just focused on hygiene and health. We're also focused on learning leadership, followership, being responsible citizens, and life coping skills. As we have no death notices for the week, we will continue with local news and opinion. Rantoul Man plays big part in Baudette face mask promotion. From Bob Asmussen. Champaign native Tom Baudette has been the spokesman for Motel 6 since 1986. Now he is lending his voice to the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. On August 27th, during WDWS 1400 AM's Penny for Your Thoughts, the station began airing a public service announcement with a famous voice as the narrator. Tom Baudette of Motel 6 fame, we'll leave the light on for you, taped a 30-second spot for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. In it, he urged citizens to wear masks and pants. The commercial was the brainchild of Rantoul's Chris Powers, who contacted Baudette's rep and worked long hours to get the spot done. Powers wrote the script, which was tweaked a bit by Baudette. Powers spent weeks on the project dealing with the various stakeholders. Baudette was open to doing this from my first email to be the local connection that would make this work, Powers said. I Googled locally born celebrities and instantly knew his folksy, effortless humor was perfect for reaching mass resistance in a funny, non-political way that makes wearing a mask as uneventful a decision as wearing pants in public. No one even thinks about not doing that. So the script took me about 10 minutes and practically wrote itself. When the spot was done, CUPHD Administrator Julie Pride called WDWS, WHMS, WKIO General Manager Mike Hale and asked if he would run the spots without charge. The answer, of course, was yes. I told her, "What a cool idea," Hale said. "Tom Baudette did it out of the goodness of his heart." A bonus, Baudette is a Champagne native. "I didn't know it either," Hale said. Hale said the Baudette PSA will air on WHMS and WKIO too. "Here's my whole thing. It's real simple. Be smart. Be courteous. Have a positive attitude. Show some gratitude," Hale said. "If we can all do that, we'll get through this." Bank, couple donate $130,000 to Rantoul Family Sports Complex. Bank of Rantoul and Denny and Ann Long have committed to gifts totaling $130,000 toward the under-construction Rantoul Family Sports Complex. The gifts were announced at last week's Village Board study session. Bank of Rantoul, which is celebrating its 100th year, will provide $100,000 to the sports complex, which secures the naming rights to one of the state-of-the-art video boards located on one of the championship fields at the complex. The Longs have committed to a gift of $30,000 on behalf of the Jackie Long Foundation. The gift will secure the naming rights to a scoreboard for one of the softball fields. Said Denny Long, "Rantoul Sports played a big role in raising our family, and this is a small way to say thank you." Long serves as chairman of the board and co-CEO of the Bank of Rantoul. Anyone with questions regarding sponsorship opportunities for the sports complex may contact Renee Wilson, Director of Sports Marketing, at rwilson@myrantoul.com or 217-893-5732. Election filing dates. Village Clerk Mike Graham said the next consolidated election will be April 6th. The filing period to pick up nominating petitions and to begin collecting signatures to run for village office begins September 22nd. The election will be the first village board election in which the community is divided into six districts. Residents can vote only for the candidates in their district. In the past, board candidates were elected at large, regardless of where they lived in the community. In the November 3rd election, residents will be asked whether the terms should be staggered, whether the trustees elected in the odd-numbered districts should initially serve four-year terms, and those in even-numbered districts two-year terms initially. If the question fails, all trustee candidates will serve four-year terms initially. Graham said it has not been determined what the minimum and maximum number of signatures will be needed for nominating petitions. Petitions may be filed December 14th through 21, followed by a 7-day period in which objections may be filed. The mayor and village clerk will each run for 4-year terms. Graham said he will not seek re-election. In another matter, Mayor Chuck Smith asked the board to approve the appointment of Crystal Wilson to the Citizens Advisory Committee. Smith said Wilson was interviewed for a seat on the Human Relations Committee. She said if she was not chosen for that committee, she would be open to serving the community on another committee. Accusations made. In the public participation portion of the meeting, resident Timothy Odom made accusations of being bullied by a Rantoul police officer. He said an officer broke the 6-foot social distancing barrier when talking with him, and said another officer who arrived later showed up with a mask in her hand that she didn't put on and also broke the 6-foot barrier. "I had a heart attack several years ago and am on meds and would be classified as high risk of contracting the COVID-19 virus," Odom said. He said he had reached out to a police lieutenant who had not gotten back to me. "I expect more professional conduct from higher-ranking officials in the department," Odom said, "and was expecting the chief would get back to me, and he didn't either." Police Chief Tony Brown said he has talked to Odom twice, and a lieutenant, three sergeants, an officer, and a public service representative have talked to him regarding the issue. and all have told him the same thing. Brown said Odom never made a claim of being bullied or having a problem with social distancing. He said Odom's complaint is over a civil matter regarding a building tenant. Brown said Odom, in an effort to get the tenant to move out, had tried to have the tenant's vehicle towed, saying it was inoperable, but the tenant moved it. Brown said Odom was advised he should contact the attorney representing the property to make sure any actions he wants to take against the tenant don't violate the tenant's rights. Odom added, "This crime-free rental program is a great thing, but if they're not working within the guidelines that have been set, I think we've got issues here. If anyone would want to reach out from the trustees and the mayor, I would be willing to talk." Brown said police explained to Odom that the crime-free housing ordinance deals with criminal activity and does not apply to this situation. Flags taken down. Resident Louise Haynes informed the board the flags were taken down downtown and on Borman Drive a couple of weeks ago. She said some were tattered and some were vandalized. Haynes said some new flags would have to be ordered. "They are in bad shape," she said. "The American flag looked like it was twisted and the POW one was broken and was sitting by the trash. I think that's very disrespectful." The village helped with the cost of the flags. Smith said quite a few veterans had asked him where the flags were. Haynes said she believes high winds did some of the damage. She said locations in town are being sought to place mini murals that have been created by high school art students. Power outage response. Resident Deborah Sweat noted that in August she brought to the board's attention several power outages in her neighborhood. She said the power went out again since then. "But I do not want to say Mr. Greg Hazel, Director of Public Works, responded promptly and took care of the issue initially. She said it went out again 2 days later. Sweat said village employees were working on the problem most of one day and part of the following day. She thanked the village for its response. Champaign County Electronics Collection event set October 9th and 10th. It's been nearly a year since Champaign County's last residential electronics collection event, but a chance to get rid of all your old TVs, computers, and phones is coming up soon. Online registration opened last Tuesday for the next residential electronics collection, set for October 9th and 10th at Parkland College. According to the event sponsors, which include the county, cities of Champaign, Ann Arbana, and Village of Savoy, anyone living in a community that helps support the electronics recycling program is welcome to sign up. That includes anyone living in Bonneville, Broadlands, Champaign, Fisher, Gifford, Homer, Ivesdale, Longview, Ludlow, Mahomet, Ogden, Rantoul, Savoy, Sydney, St. Joseph, Thomasboro, Tolono, and Urbana, and in an unincorporated areas of the county. Typically, there are two electronics recycling collections in the county a year. The one that would have been held this past spring was derailed by COVID-19 closings. To be able to offer the same capacity as in the past and limit the number of people on site to under 50 at a time, the collection event has been stretched to 2 days, according to Suzanne Monte, recycling coordinator for the county. For the October collection days, each participating household can bring up to 7 items, and the number of TVs each household can bring is limited to 4. In addition to TVs, items that can be brought for recycling include computers, monitors, printers, electronic keyboards, fax machines, VCRs, DVD players, recorders, portable digital music players, video game consoles, electronic mice, scanners, digital converter boxes, cable receivers, satellite receivers, and small cell servers. Other items that will be accepted include soundbars, ink and toner cartridges, loose wires such as extension cords, cables, and surge protectors, microwave ovens, holiday string lights, all phones and accessories, digital cameras, mini cams, digital projectors, credit card readers, telecom equipment, uninterrupted power supplies such as battery backups and chargers, rechargeable batteries, networking equipment, external drives, and circuit boards. Small items can be placed in a box and counted as one item. Anyone wishing to participate must register in advance and sign up for a 15-minute time slot from 1 to 3 p.m. October 9th or 8 a.m. to noon October 10th. Those signing up will receive a confirmation via email or text and will later receive a mailed postcard that will serve as the admission ticket to participate. Registration will remain open until all time slots are full. To register, email at ecycle.simplybook.me. Again, that is ecycle.simplybook.me. Monty said planning is also underway for a household hazardous waste collection, tentatively scheduled for April 10th, 2021. More details on that will be forthcoming, she said.